Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from today's gospel, especially these words. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts had been hardened. So far the text. As I said earlier, I was introduced to this miracle in Sunday school class. And, we talked about the disciples in the boat and the Sea of Galilee and all these things. And finally, at the end, the question was asked, why did Jesus walk on water? And everybody raised their hand, including me. And, of course, I butted in. I had to be first. And I said, he wanted to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they all said, no, 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 and they laughed at me. And, of course, all the other kids said they came out, Jesus came out walking on water to help the disciples. Of course, the problem with that is Jesus was intending to pass by the disciples. He knew they were fine. They might not have known that, but he knew they were fine. But there has to be a better reason for that. Now, as a young child, when I thought about miracles, I always thought, I wish I could do them. And I wanted to do miracles not to help others, but to impress people. Okay, that's the only reason to do a miracle. I could fly, but I would impress people. Even walking on water, right? I mean, I wouldn't walk on water to help somebody. I could swim to somebody and help them, right? But if I was at a pool party and just started walking on the pool, hey, look at Ted, he can walk on the pool. And I've mentioned this before, too. I still remember as a young child at St. Louis Park Municipal Pool saying, "I believe I can walk on water, I believe," and just sinking in the pool. And I tried six or seven times and it just couldn't do it. Now, there has to be a better reason for Jesus to walk on water. And I really think there is when you look closely enough at this text. First, we have to understand the context. What's happened right before this is the feeding of the 5,000. Now, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, as we said last week, it was probably upwards of 20,000 people. He did that for a very specific reason, and it had an impact. When he fed the 5,000, the disciples and the people thought they knew who Jesus was and thought they knew exactly what they wanted Jesus to be. So the disciples, when he does that, disciples said, "This must be the prophet," and they're referring to the prophet that Moses had talked about years ago. And they're partially right. But the people wanted to make Jesus their king. And Jesus says, didn't come for that. And so we can see that even the disciples probably thought that was a good idea, because it doesn't say he just hopped in the boat with the disciples. It said he had to force them to get into the boat and to get away from these people. Right? So he gets them in the boat, says, "Go to the other side, I'll meet you there." And Jesus goes up on the mountain and he prays. Now, I'm pretty sure I knew what he was praying about. Because when Jesus was in the wilderness tempted by Satan, after that was over, it said, and Satan sought opportunities to tempt Jesus again. This was a perfect opportunity to do that. Satan would tempt Jesus, obviously, just to become king. People want it. You can rule in power and glory and you don't have to die on a cross. That's very tempting. And so Jesus goes a lonely place up on a mountain. He's praying, and in the middle of the night, the disciples are halfway across the Sea of Galilee. So that's 4 miles out, and Jesus sees them. That's another miracle. I don't know about you, but I can't see 4 miles. And it says he goes out to them on the Sea of Galilee, walking on water, and then he intends to pass by them, which seems rather inconsistent with the rest of Jesus' miracles. So what's happening here? First of all, we have to understand this in the context of what's going through the disciples' minds and all the other Jewish people in that area. John tells us in his gospel that it is almost the time of the Passover. So everybody's thinking about Moses and the Exodus and the Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai. So you can see the impact that had when Jesus feeds like 20,000 people in a miraculous way in the wilderness, while they remembered how God took care of his people in the wilderness too. There's a connection. And the second big one I found is that word, the word in Greek for pass them by. because that links itself to the Exodus and the Passover as well. If you look in Exodus chapter 33, this is where Moses has had, a belly full of the children of Israel, and he's sick of leading them, okay? And he realizes this thing, and he can't do this alone. And so he goes, he says to God, God, the only way I'm going to possibly be able to do this is if you go with me. And God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you peace. Then what does Moses do? If your presence is not going with us, don't make us leave this place. I mean, didn't God just say he's going to go with them, right? It's as if he completely forgot. And he goes, oh, I really mean it. Are you really going to go with us? God says, yes, I promise. Cross my heart, swear, all that stuff. I'm going to go with you. Don't worry about it. Then Moses cranks it up a little bit and says, but I want to see your very presence. And God says, all right. First you have to make the tablets that you broke earlier, okay? And once you did that, then I'll put you in this little cleft in the side of the mountain, and my glory will pass by you. And it's the exact same word for pass by that's used in our text. That's what's taking place. Jesus, in passing by the disciples, wants them to see his glory. And how do they respond to that? They're terrified. They think he's a ghost. He gets in the boat. The winds cease. The storm's over. And it says they're in awe and amazed at Jesus. Matthew says they were amazed and worshiped Jesus. But Mark adds a little addendum to that, which shows us the true mental state and spiritual state of the disciples. And he says their hearts were hardened. They could not learn the lesson of the loaves. In other words, they had seen Jesus feed upwards of 20,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish, and yet they still didn't believe that he was God. They still couldn't see his glory. And yet Jesus passed by them so they could see that. Now, when God passes by Moses, he not only shows his glory, but he explains his glory to them. He says, I'm the God who loves my people. I have forgiven my people. I cast their sin away. I take their guilt away. He explains exactly what his glory truly is. And Jesus does the exact same thing. When he shows his glory to the disciples, what does he say? Do not be afraid. It is I. And when Jesus says, it is I, in Greek, he's using two words, ego eimi. And that's a very specific way of saying that this is me. Those are the words that God used for Moses at the burning bush when he says, well, people are going to want to know who sent me. What's your name? And what does God say? I am that I am, and in Greek it's ego eimi. So when Jesus stood before the scribes and Pharisees and they said, you think you're better than our father Abraham? And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am ego eimi. And they pick up rocks to stone him. Why? Because he says he's God. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they've come to arrest him, they say, who do you want? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says, I am he. Ego eimi, and the people drop to the ground, because he's God. And Jesus still says those words to us today. He says, do not fear, it is I, ego eimi. I am God. I am the Savior who forgives you. I am the sacrifice who died for your sin, and I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And I think you can really see that at least one of the disciples had learned this lesson very well. You see, this miracle appears in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. And yet only in one of these do we hear about Peter trying to walk on water. Only one, and that's Matthew. Now, I can understand why John wouldn't have put it in, because John's whole point for his gospel was to convince people that Jesus is God. And yet, Mark gets all his information from Peter himself. Of all the gospels, you'd think the one that would mention Peter trying to walk on water would be Mark, because he's getting his information directly from Peter. The fact that Peter refused to tell that part of the story to Mark tells us that he had learned his lesson. That day was not about him walking on water and failing to do so wasn't about his faithfulness or lack thereof. What happened that day was about Jesus Christ and his glory. And in the past and even today, the greatest miracle Jesus has ever done or ever will do is revealing his glory to us and giving us the faith to trust it. Hearing him say to us in the most difficult times of our lives, "Fear not, it is I," and continuing our walk in faith and life and in peace. I pray that the Lord continue to shine his glory all around us and give us the faith to trust that glory, so that we are not afraid, but we move forward in faith and enjoying a peace that surpasses all human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.